Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh. She's Nicole Booz. We're going to talk to you about five tips on hiring a freelance comics editor. Nicole, before we started recording, I said five tips. I like it that you gave a definitive five tips, and then you said lists. And I think that's probably... it could probably be a whole episode unto itself. Lists. It seems like, you know, a lot of the ways that you approach comics is narrowing things down, and I like that you have identified a list of what you think are the five things that you need to think about, or five ways to hire a freelance comics editor. It's something that I've thought about and explored a bit, but never done. And I think what, you know, prevents me from doing it is exactly what you're addressing. Is it's a lot. Ooh. It's a lot about budget. It's a lot about timeline. It's a lot about, hey, I don't know anybody. It's, how do you get that started? And in some cases, maybe somebody's more project manager type. In some cases, maybe they're more, you know, copy editor or looking to help you, you know, generate ideas. And then they want to look at big picture and poke holes in the idea and, you know, all that, maybe the swirls in all those. All of those things are so valuable when you're putting together a comics project and you need to try to deliver it on time. If you're working, you know, for a publisher like an Image or another creator owned that might not have somebody internally that says, hey, you've been assigned an editor. You know, I know there are companies that do have editors on staff that work on creator-owned projects, and those are likely the people you're pitching to. But somebody like an Image, where there is no editor that you're dealing with necessarily for producing your book, or if you're looking to crowdsource, you know, or do your comic online, or any of the ways you want to get a comic out there, if you've never worked as an editor, it seems like it can be daunting. So, five tips on hiring a freelance comic editor.
Yes, five. There are exactly five.
There are only five.
Should we step back for just a quick second and sort of define for people who may be listening and not know necessarily how editorial structures may work at publishers, right? Because you were referring to Image and other publishers. So, among the major comic book publishers, basically some of them have editors on staff and some of them don't, because they produce creator-owned things and that operates a little bit differently. So for a place like Marvel or DC, if you are working on a project there, then you'll have editorial staff working with you, and that's pre-assigned. But if you are trying to create a project from scratch that you're maybe funding through Kickstarter or publishing yourself, or even publishing online as a web comic or some such thing, then, you know, you're in charge and you get to decide, you being the creative team, whether it's one person, multiple people, but you're basically responsible if you're initiating a project for putting the team together. And the same actually applies with some publishers like Image, as you said, who produce only creator-owned books, I believe. And if they accept a project, that means that the creative team is responsible for assembling itself, basically. Does that help explain it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think it does.
Okay. Cool. So so with that in mind, and speaking to people who may be looking at putting a project together from scratch, we're looking at what you want to take into consideration if you're thinking about bringing an editor on board for your project, what that means, and how to find the right fit, right?
Right.
So, all right. So should we start with step one?
Step one.
Step one, I thought, is to identify the goals for your project. And that is what we talked about in our last recording. So if you didn't hear that, you can check that out. But there's, if you're having trouble identifying your goals or you need a little bit of help with that, we actually put together sort of a series of questions and answers that you may want to look at as you're sort of narrowing down and defining what your goals are. So, you know, one of the main things that I think we're looking at is knowing who you want to have as your audience and how to get your project in front of them. So that's a big question. If that's something that you already have in mind, that's one thing. If it's something that you need help with, then you may want to look at talking with potential editors who have some kind of background or expertise in that arena, in you know, whether in marketing or in I don't know, outreach or that kind of thing. You know, and another important thing to think about is whether you're looking at going about publishing on your own and doing all the printing and all the logistics on your own, or as a creative team, or if you want to pitch something to publishers who would then be responsible for that end. So that's another thing to think about. Have you already pitched something to a publisher? You're working now with Image or for an independent press, and they say that they want to print your project, but you know, they need you to refine it in a certain way. And then that's another thing to think about. So those are all important questions when you're thinking about what the goals are for this particular project, because that will help you sort of pinpoint what you want from your editor candidates.
Yeah.
So far, so good?
So far, so good. I like it. Well, based on number one, what will the editor's role be? I cheated and I looked ahead at your number two. It's you touched on it a little bit with what you broke down, is figuring out what do you need the editor's role to be, and I think that can be crucial. And knowing that not all editors are necessarily wanting to do the same thing, or maybe have a background in the same thing.
Yep, exactly. And this actually comes up, you know, with some regularity, because I do get approached, you know, every so often by people who are looking for an editor. And one of the first things that we talk about, sometimes they tell me this outright, and sometimes I need to do a little bit of probing to get more information. But a lot of the time I end up asking them, you know, what are your goals for the project overall? And what have you done already? What do you want to do yourself? What do you want other members of the creative team to do or have done? And then that sort of leaves, you know, what you want the editor's role to be. So we've talked about editor's roles in previous podcast episodes, but, you know, as we've said before, that can vary a lot depending on the project, the nature of the project, and the nature of the creators involved. So an editor can act as a project manager, sort of working to put all of the different pieces together. What are those different pieces? That can mean sort of wrangling the creative team. It can mean helping to put a creative team together and finding the right artists and writers who are a match for one another. It can involve creating and maintaining a schedule. It can involve helping to pitch to publishers if that hasn't, you know, if that's part of the goal, but that hasn't been done yet. It can involve helping define who the audience is. All of those things that we talked about when we were talking about step one, identifying your goals, editors can help with that. Some editors have more expertise in some areas than others. So I know, you know, there are some editors out there like Heather, another podcast co-host, who has a really strong background in Kickstarter and kickstarting her own projects. That was how she got her comics career started. And so she's got a lot of great advice on that. And actually, we can talk a little bit about the mini, the micro course that she's about to teach, because she is doing a 1-day only course on exactly that topic that if people are interested, they can check that out on our website. But, you know, whereas I don't have a lot of background in crowdfunding, so, you know, if somebody came to me saying, I'm looking for an editor who can help me put together a Kickstarter plan, I would say, that's awesome. That's not my strength, but let me send you to this other person who does have that strength. And I've actually done that a lot, depending on what people told me they wanted to get out of their project. So, you know, it really depends so much. And if you're putting a project together and you haven't necessarily sorted through what you have covered and what you want the editor to cover and how you want it all to come together, that is something that your editor candidates can talk you through. So, you know, I would say if you're thinking about, you know, talking to potential editors for your project, reach out to them and ask, you know, help them, or excuse me, ask them to help you sort of narrow down how the roles break down and who is fulfilling them and where you would need them to fill in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the conversations, getting the conversation started and knowing that the conversations can go a few different ways and, like you said, end in a referral, it just seems so win-win to find the people that you want to work with. Number three, you have budget. And I think that might be one of the other more intimidating steps is trying to figure out, well, I've never done a comic before. I don't know how to think about, how much an editor's going to need time-wise. And you've actually included a tool that I didn't know about that seems like a handy rule of thumb.
Yes, this is a really super helpful resource, and I found out about this from Marta, who is also a former staffer at Comics Experience and a member of the Creators Workshop. She had at some point posted a link to this website that I had not known about previously, but there's an organization called the Editorial Freelancers Association, and on their website they have a page with suggested rate ranges for editors. And this applies to editors in all fields, whether it's, technical and scientific writing or fiction or nonfiction or what have you. It's a good starting point for ballpark figures for comics as well. So across the board, this can sort of give you a general idea of what you might be looking at when it comes to rates. And it's also a terrific breakdown of different kinds of editorial work. So they've got on this page, a list of types of work: editing, basic copy editing, heavy copy editing, fact checking, indexing. So there are all these different categories of work that somebody could do still with the title of editor. And this, has a sort of list of rate ranges. So that can give you sort of a starting point to consider. But that having been said, if you are operating with a really small budget, I would encourage you to just go ahead and reach out to people anyway, because even if you think that you can't afford to hire an editor, it might be worth checking in with people to see what kind of flexibility they have. Because you may not have a budget in the hundreds or thousands of dollars to pay somebody, but you might be able to cough up like $50 to pay somebody and say, like, would you be able to look over my script and just give me some notes? I can't pay you like a ton of money, but this is what I can pay. What kind of service can you provide for this budget? And from there, you can start a longer conversation about what your expectations are, and if you can't necessarily afford to hire them on a larger scale, then maybe you could sort of pinpoint the areas where you need the most help and devote whatever budget you have to that.
I think that in legal terms, I've heard that referred to as redlining. I like you're not necessarily engaging a lawyer to go through your contract negotiations, but you're paying them, a small fee to look at your contract and go, here are all the problem areas, and not
See, I
necessarily.
didn't even realize that was a thing. So
It
there you
is,
go.
yeah. My first contract that I got offered in comics, I sent it to a lawyer to have them redline it
Nice.
because it was that same thing. It was like, I have a little bit of money, and before I do this, because it was gonna, it was for a 5-issue miniseries, and it was gonna take a considerable effort and time and dollars to put it together, and I didn't know
Right.
anything about it. Well, I know something about contracts, I guess, having done a number of work for hire things on the video production side, but comics is different because of an intellectual property, consideration and how much money you're putting in. And anyway, having an editor
Yeah.
redline, air quotes, might not be a bad thing at all, because if you get those story problems worked out early on, $50 is nothing compared to, oh, we got to rewrite sections, and oh, we got to redraw sections, and all the headaches that can come later from not having somebody give you that input.
Yeah, exactly. And but if you're really, really like floundering on thinking about a starting point, that website, and it's the-efa.org/rates. So that's the page that actually gives you that overview that we were talking about. But yeah, I mean that can sort of give you sort of a basic starting point. So like if you go to somebody, you obviously don't want to totally lowball them, but you want to give them something that they can reasonably work with. But that being said, you can always start with, this is what I can afford. What is a fair and reasonable expectation for what you might be able to do for that budget? And if they can't do anything, then that's fine. Then you've had the conversation. But you can sort of take that as a starting point and then go from there. And I think that's really useful.
It is. All right, so timeline's a big factor for a couple of reasons. That's your number four for five tips on hiring a freelance comics editor. Timeline.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So this is another thing that I tend to ask people if they approach me about doing editorial work is, you know, what is their goal in terms of deadlines? So if you have a really open and flexible timeline, that might be an advantage to me, for example, as an editor, because if I have a bunch of other commitments, but I know that there's more flexibility in your project, then that might make me more likely to be able to consider it or to take it on.
Yeah.
At the same time, but well, what were you going to say?
I think that's a great point. I didn't even think about that, that because your flexibility might be there, that somebody would say yes in a different way.
Exactly. But then again, you know, there's another side to that coin is that if the timeline is too open, then that could create a different set of restrictions. And I will give you a recent example. Somebody was talking to me about potentially working with them on a project, but it happened to be a really long project. It was a self-contained graphic novel of over 100 pages. And while it had sort of an open-ended timeline because the artist attached was doing it as, you know, as they could based on their own schedule, because they have a different day job and they were doing this sort of in their spare time. So in that way, it worked out great because it meant that, you know, the people who wanted to work together on the creative team were able to work together. But at the same time, from my perspective, as an editor and somebody whose schedule can fluctuate and my workload can fluctuate between having, you know, heavy and lighter weeks with scheduling and workload, that, you know, that has some advantages and it has some disadvantages. So if I know that a project is going to be finished by the end of this calendar year, then I can plan for that, for example. But if I'm not certain whether a project is going to be finished, you know, as of next year or beyond, then that can create an obstacle for me because there are different times of the year when my schedule can really fluctuate. So like, you know, in summer, I have a different schedule because my kids are off from school. That's me. Somebody else might have a different set of considerations that affects their schedule and their availability at different times of the year or different days of the week or, you know, whatever the case may be. So it's really going to depend a lot on the individual person and what their commitments and flexibility are. So, you know, having schedule flexibility can be an advantage, but it also has some drawbacks. And those are all things that you need to take into account. So one thing that I would advise if you're looking to reach out to editors and work with them is even if you do have a flexible ending point, it's really helpful and beneficial to the editorial candidates if you have even just a ballpark idea of when you expect the project to be finished or when you would like it to be finished. So even if you think, you know, I'm going to do this in my spare time over the next 5 to 10 years, you know, that's just something to start with. 5 to 10 years is kind of an exaggeration, but it's good to know a short timeline versus a long timeline versus an open-ended timeline. Those are all things that potential editors like to know about because it sort of helps them to plan what they can and cannot work on in the future.
Boy, it is such a game of Tetris at times. Any kind of
it kind of is, yeah. And that might have sounded a little vague the way that I said it, but I'm thinking in terms of editors who can be working on multiple projects at any given time, especially like, you know, I can work on this big project if I don't have a whole lot of other small projects going on simultaneously, or I can take on a big project if it can start in 6 months instead of 6 weeks.
Right.
So there are a lot of moving parts, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so much of, you know, creative career can be built around your maximum flexibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your fifth tip is researching candidates and start a conversation. You mentioned that before, just talking to people. And I think, you know, resources seem so plentiful now just to see where you could find an editor and get to know their personality a little bit online before even talking to them over email or a phone call or Skype or even in person. You can find out, you know, from maybe you want to hire somebody. I was going to say, it wouldn't quite work out. If you like a book, you know, you can look at the editor and see who edits what. That might be a next step for your creator-owned project, is seeing an editor who works at a Dark Horse or a Boom or another company that you like and know what their tastes are and go, oh, they like science fiction or they like gritty crime stories. And I'm like, I got a gritty crime story. I should contact this editor. But for a freelancer looking to a freelance editor to work on your project, how do you start that conversation? Where do you research?
Well, if you're lucky, the people whose names you come up with may have personal websites. And this is a terrible example because I actually don't have a personal website. But you know, many you know, so but you know, that's a good place to start. You know, obviously Google, and if they have a website, hopefully if they've done it right, their contact information is available and you can contact them from there. But you know, otherwise you can find people on social media or through online comics communities. I mean, you know, the Creators Workshop forum is great for that because we have collaboration corner where if you're looking for collaborators, you can just post up what you're looking for and people will respond. But you know, if you're not a member and you're looking for other resources online or in person in your community, yeah, you can, you know, there are all kinds of creator groups on Facebook. And as you said, you know, you can research from looking through books that you like to find out who the editors are on those and try to find them, you know, if there's public information about how to reach them, if they're on Twitter or have personal websites or that kind of thing. And yeah, gosh, I don't know. I mean, if you're part of a comics creators community in your own, you know, actual community in real life, you know, you can reach out to people you know within there, obviously. And one good place you might think about starting with that, or it would be like at a library or a very small local comics convention or your local comic shop. You know, if you go there and ask around, you'll eventually start to be able to build a list of names and candidates and go from there.
That's a good library is also one of those things that I feel like I see from time to time and never think about in the way that I should about having those small library cons or the smaller regional conventions. And from your perspective, as somebody, let's say you're getting emailed cold from someone you don't know but has seen, you know, seen you online or heard this podcast, or what do you need in that introductory email? What's a good thing for me to let you know when I'm reaching out to say, hey, we've got a comic we're working on and we're looking for editors?
The kind of information that I generally tend to look for initially is just basic info about your project. It doesn't necessarily have to be pitch style. You don't necessarily need to sell me on your project. But just a general idea of what it's about, and some of those basic goals, I think. Things like, you know, if you have creative team members attached already, maybe mention who is involved. If you don't have a creative team put together already, then that's important to say too, that you're looking to assemble a creative team, and that's the stage that you're in. Basically, any information that communicates something about the nature of your project and who is involved and what you want to do with it next. And from there, I, you know, for myself, speaking only for myself, not necessarily what every editor would be looking for, but that would be enough for me to start at least asking questions to figure out, you know, whether this would be a good fit and if I would be a good person to help you meet your goals or if I could redirect you to a different resource.
Excellent. So that's a good starting point. And I think we have covered, I'm going to do the math, all five tips. I think it is great that you broke this down. I don't mean I wasn't making fun. I think it is great that you have the five tips and five ways to look at it, 'cause it's, man, it's such a daunting, for me, it's such a daunting thing to think about. And now I feel so fortunate because I have your email address, I have Heather's email address, I have Jim's email address. I can just say, "Hey." But it really has given me insight how to reach out to other people to think about,
Awesome.
you know, getting it rolling and to really understand that it's not a one-size-fits-all proposition either, because everybody has different areas of interest and strengths that they can lean on and experiences that they want to lean on to do the work. And I think that, like you said, it's really encouraging to hear you say that go ahead, even if you don't have the budget, even if you might have some flexibility in your timeline, or maybe it's just something that somebody's interested in and can fit it in, or even just go through and give you a project check and say, here's where I think there's some problem areas, maybe in story, or have you thought about this with scheduling, or hey, have you thought about reaching out to Dark Horse because they like to print books like this, maybe they're a good in, or just something that gives you that extra bit of insight that an editor can really bring to a project and helping shape a direction. And for me personally, I know there's never been anything I've written in my life that hasn't benefited from editing, just from a pure copy editing standpoint alone. But so much of, hey, does this make story sense? Or here's a suggestion. What if you introduce this earlier, or it all, could tie together? So I don't know where it falls in the hierarchy of the way people budget for comics projects, but editor seems like one that I think might be more undervalued than it could be, because it's a little bit more mysterious and maybe not as much in the spotlight as artist, penciler, colorist, letterer, writer. So you don't see it as obvious as, oh no, we couldn't have made this without the editor's input. Whether it was keeping the project running, or the keen insight on how to build a story structure that makes sense over 5 issues, and that feels like a comic, versus hey, here's my big epic that I'm going to tell in 100 pages. it can rein it in ways, and make it streamlined in ways that are so beneficial. So hooray editing.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad that this helps to break it down a little bit. And sort of as a closing thought, I think that I can't speak for everyone again, but for the most part, I think most people working as editors in the industry we're really here because we enjoy doing this. We enjoy helping people tell the stories that they want to tell. We enjoy helping them sort of break down and unravel their goals and organize them in a way that helps them make plans toward achieving those goals. So yeah, we're here to help, and we generally are happy to help sort of give people that direction and to break it down in a way that makes sense to you and is not intimidating.
Excellent. That is a nice succinct button on the end of it. Exactly what you would expect an editor to do, is to bring it all home. If you have this time, next time, you'll do it again next time. I've heard you do it before.
Aw, thanks, Joey.
If you have a question that you'd like to hear discussed, you can email info@comicsexperience.com or tweet @comicexperience on Twitter. You can also tweet at Nicole, and she's Nicole@comicsexperience. If you have any editor questions, comicsexperience.com for editorial questions, or go talk to her on Twitter. And I know that there are many comics that Nicole has edited that you can go find from Marvel and from Miller World and other places. All right, until next time, keep making comics.